Good afternoon, folks. Back again here, Real Talks, with my special guest, co-host, partner in crime for Career Talks, Real Talk, Miss Tiffany Uman. How are you, Uman? How are you? I keep saying that wrong. I don't know why.
Yeah, no. Uman's right. And so good to be back here, Orlando. I've missed you. I've missed our sessions together. It's great being back after the holiday period. And I'm really excited for today's topic because it's definitely an important one as we're getting into the new year. The new year has already begun, and we want to make sure that all of our listeners are set up for the most success in whatever they're planning for this year in terms of their goals and milestones that they're looking to hit. So it's great to be back. I feel like now we're back in the swing of things, and I'm really happy to be here. Yeah.
I know a lot has happened, right, over the course of the year for folks in careers with layoffs and tech and the uptick in AI and what people are talking about in career transitions. Yeah. And so a lot to unpack. We'll see if we can get to as much as we can today.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely, if you're tuning in, have your questions ready so we can, we can address those as early as possible. So looking forward to this conversation for sure.
Me too. And I see Patricia. Hello from Brazil. So nice to have you joining us. You really hit it on the head with that, Orlando. The market's been obviously a little bit wild these past months, yeah, and even in this past year, and with what sort of been transpiring as we are starting out this year with some similar patterns of layoffs, restructuring, and that could create a lot of uncertainty. So I think really our goal for our listeners with this episode is bringing a level of clarity and certainty and focus that you can take control of and make sure that you're really steering your path forward this year, despite what might be happening around you and your circumstances. And we're really happy to welcome any questions of what you might be going through right now and how we can further support you in that.
Yeah, so I would think the biggest thing, yesterday I was on a LinkedIn audio event with my good friend Anna Morgan. She does this monthly event called Ask a Recruiter. So she gets about five or six recruiters, and good turnout of folks who job seekers were asking questions. And one of the things that kept popping up was the AI question, right? The technology, how's that impacting job seekers? How do we leverage it? And is that something that can be noticed? One specific question came, kind of, I'll summarize it, was, is there a big difference, or can we notice an AI resume versus, a human written resume? And so couple of us chimed in different ways and saying, hey, there's benefit to it, there's not benefit.
Yeah.
And is that going to be a major play, going forth? Is that really going to be a major benefit too, right? Having an AI written resume. So that's a tough one. I think the little bit that I shared for that specific was it was around be cautious. Because if that resume is crafted too well, and how you speak is not in line with how the verbiage is written, right? It still needs to sound kind of like you a little bit. I know it's not a book or thesis or something like that, but still, you have to be able to really master what's on that resume to speak to it. So if
100%.
Too crispy and too clean, and you're like, oh, I didn't know I did that. Yeah, you're trying to remember what's on there. Be careful, right? Because then that
definitely. I love this question too. I just hosted a session on this for my clients inside my Career Success Fast Track program because it's something that's definitely been coming up more and more. My key guidance on the leveraging of AI is use it as a support, not as a replacement. Right? Because it can be easily confused as, okay, I'm just going to rely on this almost as a crutch, but it is an amazing tool for inspiration and to guide you in the right direction, right? So whether it's to gain efficiencies. So if you are working, let's say, on a resume, for inspiration to kind of get those accomplishments flowing or to spark what you want to say, if you're having a little bit of that creative block, it's great for that. And it's quite sophisticated to be able to guide you with something that can be quite elaborate. But you don't want to over rely on it in a way, to your point, Orlando, that's going to replace you, your voice, your essence. The one thing that AI is not going to capture, it's the emotion. It's the piece that's really that human connection As we know, in a recruitment process, that's a really important element. You know, maybe that doesn't come through as much in a traditional resume that's very fact-based, that's very accomplished-based. But when we're talking about things like cover letters or prepping for interviews or prepping for networking conversations, you could, of course, leverage AI for inspiration around talking points or based off of my track record of XYZ, what would be the best way to really encapsulate that? But always make it your own, right? You always want to make it your own because that's the piece that's you. That's the element that's distinct to you. And if everyone is simply using AI in a very similar fashion, well, everyone's going to start sounding the same. And then that loses your really important differentiation and really loses the essence of your own personal brand that you're trying to create. So I just go back to the point of really using it as a support, not a replacement, but I definitely recommend leveraging it in ways that you can to help you make this process easier and more seamless and more inspiring for you.
Yeah, I mean, in full transparency, right? I use it. And so I'll get it as a foundational base, right? If I'm stuck in a thought process, but I have a question, you know, you're throwing in a prompt and then I'll read through that material. I'm like, 80% of this is not me. Maybe it's the initial sentence or third sentence in that paragraph or whatever. Then it sparks my thought to be like, okay, now let me craft it to sound more like me. So it's definitely that good assistance tool to get you possibly unstuck or over the hump in your process. And whether it's, you know, you're rewriting one or two or three bullet points in your, you know, your resume, that's good. But to let it craft your entire resume and do a cut and paste, be cautious, be very, very cautious about that. Yeah. Cause it doesn't know you, it doesn't know the depth of your experience and what you've done. So it's just taking pieces from here and here and just slapping it together.
Yeah. I think one way that it can be, just to add to that, I think what could be helpful also, it's one of the downfalls I see from a lot of professionals when they are exploring new opportunities in the new year or job options that might be available to them. We can sometimes have the tendency of dismissing things that we've done that we should really highlight. And so what AI can really help here is how to actually frame, you know, a certain statement or how to bring out a certain level of detail that does really encompass what you've done and the results that you've created instead of keeping it more at a surface level focus, right? So I tend to like recommending using AI is like really kind of digging and seeing things from all angles. So you're not leaving any stone unturned. So almost as like a sanity check, but not again as the means to do it for you. That's just going to be a little bit of dangerous territory. I see a comment here from Patricia as well saying that here in Brazil, we have a study group just to learn how the AI can affect our jobs and activities, and we're learning with AI models. Yeah, I've been seeing a lot more of that, not just in job searching, but also in the working environment, right? Of how can certain functions really leverage AI in finding efficiencies, finding optimizations, improving processes, and especially when it does come to work like finance or work that's maybe a little bit more kind of black and white in nature, it can be super helpful, right? Because it can really help create these frameworks or different methodologies to work within versus work that might be a little bit more creative in nature. So I love that. That's what Patricia's kind of working through right now. And it is a constant learning process. So I don't think we all have the answers. We're taking it all in, but it could certainly be a tool to leverage at this time.
And Patricia, thanks for that comment. If you want, or if you're able to share a little bit about what you're finding now, is it different from here in the US to where it is in France? Brazil. So that'd be good to know to see at what points as each country, you know, starts to consume AI and implement AI, where they're at and how that impacts the workforce. So one of the things that popped recently again was another, you know, massive layoff. I forgot the company name. I wish I would have, I think it was another, still a tech company, might have been Google or Facebook announcing another layoff. So the big question still now becomes to job search, right? With all the layoffs, you can, if you have LinkedIn premium, you can see, or I think LinkedIn just period, you're active on the account, you can see, you know, all the different applicants or the number of applicants who applied to a specific job. So that question is going to always, I think, be there. And wanted to get your thoughts on that, Tiffany, in terms of how are candidates, you know, what tools should they use now and techniques to stand out in the job market for 2024?
Yeah, look, there's going to be continued amazing talent in the market, especially with layoffs that are happening. I mean, companies are letting go incredible people. So I think we've all come to the agreement that it has nothing to do with skills or strengths or competencies. When these layoffs are happening, it's more of a function of the organizational's current state of affairs that's leading to a lot of these unfortunate decisions. But nevertheless, it's impacting the lives of thousands of professionals, right? And so as one that might be affected by something like this, one, I know it can be discouraging or lead to those questions of, well, what now? And so there's a few things that come to mind, but I will say, just as an opener, you know, whatever does happen, if it's something you're going through now, it's something that you've recently gone through, something that you might be experiencing in your company. I know there's trickles in a lot of organizations of layoffs that might be coming up and all of this. Just know that whatever happens or whatever has happened, it does not take away your strengths, your skills, your accomplishments, the relationships that you've built. That is yours for life, right? No one's going to take that away from you. So the question then becomes, what can you do proactively to put yourself in a really good position to bounce back when you're ready to bounce back and take that next step? And this leads to the key recommendation that I have, which is really lean into your relationships, really lean into your network, because at these moments in time, the people piece of who can influence, who can get you in front of a decision maker, who can maybe make an introduction for you, those things are going to matter so much more than they ever have versus relying only on applications where, yes, you're likely going to be amongst hundreds or thousands of other candidates who are also vying for the same position. And it's not to say don't apply. If there's roles and you want to get your name out there and you're like, this is something that I know I can deliver on, go for it. But you definitely want to have a bigger weighting on the people and relationship piece, because that's exactly what's going to accelerate that position. For instance, right, maybe within the organization that you've possibly been let go from, are there already a network there or people that you can connect with who can already make introductions into sister type of organizations? Or maybe this is going to lead you to reconsider the field that you're in and maybe finally go for the pivot that you've been hoping for, right? So there's no right or wrong answer here. I just really want our listeners to know that you're not alone in this, and tuning in, honing in on those relationships can really help you in those moments of challenge to get you in front of the right people.
Love that. And I would also add to that is kind of stay at the ready. And that's a term we used in military, just like keeping your head on a swivel. Just, you just never know. Like, to Tiffany's point, keep your network warm, not cold. So continue to be active, continue to reach out, continue to have coffee chats, whatever you want to do, despite, because you can be a 5, 10-year, 15-year employee, but you just never know, depending on the decisions that are made within an organization, that can cause, you know, that wave of layoff to come. So I think you'll still want to be at the ready just in case, because you just never know. There are certain industries that impact other industries that you may not be aware of. And then you start to see a downturn coming. You're like, oh my God, I thought this is where I was going to retire. And have at least another 4 years with, or whatever it is, 4 years with the organization. So I would always say keep that resume fresh as you progress in your career, take on new projects. Just, you know, every couple of months, refresh that, stay active in your community, both online and in person, just because you never know, right? And the last thing you want to, after seeing so many waves of, you know, the depressions and then layoffs and then COVID, it's being caught off guard when we've seen a cycle of this happen.
Yeah.
And we can't assume like, okay, this is the year where things are going to always be on the uptick. Mm-hmm. And if you're someone who watches the news and they're saying, hey, the economy's not that bad, that's different. Plus, they're talking to high level CEOs and executives that if it were to go bad, they're not impacted anyway, right? They have they're millionaires, so they're good. So it's about the folks in the middle and maybe just starting out in their career that stay active. It is somewhat of a race, but you want to stay in that training mode just to prepare, just in case. Totally. You may not have to, but you just need be ready. To stay at the ready. Yeah, just be ready.
Be ready. I love what you shared, Orlando, about like you don't want to be caught off guard. And and to some degree, shame on us if we are caught off guard, because we have been seeing a lot of patterns over the last few years. And so it's not to say that it's going to happen, but let's protect ourselves, right? Like, let's already build the toolkit that we need as professionals so that if it happens, or if we're in a difficult spot, or if we're feeling challenged, that you're not starting from zero. You've already built momentum. You already have an active network that you can tap into. You already are maybe forging connections with different types of organizations that have been on your radar. And that's not to say that you have to go there or not, but it never hurts to have options, because no one is going to fault you for that. Mm-hmm. I say this often, but you kind of have to be selfish in your career. Right? Yeah. You're the one that has to look out for you, your needs, your family's needs, whatever your top priorities are. And as we talk about, you know, your career in 2024, I really encourage all of our listeners to think about, what do you want this year to look like for you? Like, if you were to fast forward to December 2024 and look back at this year, what would you have liked to say that you accomplished? What would you have liked to say that you've done? What would you have liked to say that you've experienced? Right? And it's just a fun exercise that opens up possibilities instead of staying kind of stuck with where we're at right now in this given week, in this given day, and the current reality that we might be facing. So I really encourage us to kind of take that step back and dream and challenge yourself. You know, I reference this often, but, you know, goals without action are simply ideas. We really need to take action. And this could be micro actions, just like you're saying, Orlando, right? Maybe it's creating that connection request with someone. Maybe it's asking for that recommendation. Maybe it's following up with someone that, you know, you believe can open up some doors, but you haven't spoken to them in 6 months. All of these actions matter, because if you know really what you want to feel and experience over this next year, then you just start reverse engineering it backwards and say, okay, what are some of the things I already should be doing now that's going to help position me best for that, versus going day by day, week by week, month by month, and kind of just hoping for the best? That's leaving a little bit too much to chance, right? We want to be able to really promote that proactive control of our careers as best as we can. And despite some of the external circumstances that might be happening, to favor you as much as possible.
And I think that networking piece, not to belabor that point, but it's so huge in my mind, because again, you're in those conversations, you're meeting new people. And in most networking events, if they're driven by an association, you know, HR or whatever it is, conversations around opportunities will come up, right? It is natural for that to be, and to be in the room to hear that, you just never know. Yeah. And again, you may not be in a position where you're needing it, but if you're a resource to someone to say, hey, I did go to this event, I understood that, you know, this person, you know, Tiffany might've been looking, I have a friend, and let me pass that name along, or that company name along, right? Through that network piece, you know, your name kind of can stay in that conversation too, and find out like, hey, 6 months down the line, we have a position as Patricia mentioned she's in finance, right? Be a finance director. And they circle back and be like, hey, I know you said last time we met, you wasn't really looking, but
yeah,
what about now? Right. Yeah. And then now the opportunity opens up for you to advance your career in some uncertain times. So I think the benefits, I don't think there's any downside again to networking. You just never know. It's really building that community that's willing to help each other out. So that's just a huge benefit for job seekers overall.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, even beyond networking, it's kind of fun to get creative in what you're looking to achieve, right? You can easily stand out by doing things differently than the norm, right? You know, whether it's integrating, let's say, video into some of your proposal, maybe your application process, maybe as a follow-up thank you from an interview. There's just these like low-hanging fruits that you can do if it's an opportunity that really matters to you, if it's something that you're like, I don't really want to take no for an answer. I really want to find a solution to be able to partner with this organization. There's ways you can get around that and be more creative in the follow through and follow up. But I think it's also important to recognize that you want to work for an organization that does value you and that will see the expertise and the results and value that you can bring to them. So it's a little bit of that fine balance of finding those creative ways of standing out and separating yourself from the pack, but also not coming off as like overly desperate, and showing too many of your cards, that could actually work against you. Because at the end of the day, when you are exploring opportunities, it's a two-way street, right? I mean, you're probably excited about it, but you want them to be excited about it and not feel like you have to overly convince somebody like that I should be a part of this team. So that it pairs really well with the relationship piece, because if you can get those advocates or allies on the inside that are vouching for you, and then you're also really impressing in what you have to control in that process, that can go really, really far, right? And just try to put yourself in the shoes of, let's say, hiring managers or recruiters who might be very much overloaded right now with what's happening, right? We're feeling it on the candidate side, but there's a lot that's going on the inside as well, right? And possibly lack of responses or lack of responsiveness isn't anything to do with you. It could just be purely overload, that they have a lot to handle. They're losing track. It's hard to stand out when you've got a pile of work ahead of you. So do what you can to kind of get that attention and position yourself really intentionally to favor your chances of whichever direction you're looking to take this year.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the last 2 years, just being on the recruiter side, was a year of a lot of, you know, recruiting departments being dismantled and let go, and a lot of tech recruiters and things like that. So to your point of not getting a response, that was it for a while, right? There's no one there to respond at the great level that they needed to, because of the influx of resumes. There were not enough hands to review 1,000 resumes on one post to get back to the, you know, to the 980 that probably never got a call because they only went through the first 20. So you have to be mindful of that too. But it does cause the job seeker to be more active, right? Because of that, we can't definitely now go into 2024 with the same mindset, thinking it's just going to be a phenomenal resume and a phenomenal LinkedIn profile that's going to get me noticed. There's so many more steps we need to take, just because the candidate pool is so vast right now. And like you said, the internal departments can be so small, and so we're overwhelmed with the activity that's coming in. So again, it's how do you get through that sea? And I'm sure job seekers are saying, this is great, but how do we do it? And there is no silver bullet, right?
Yeah, no.
There is no silver bullet, but that shouldn't stop the activity level for you. It's just in the stuff that we're sharing has been done before, and it's cyclical, right? There are times where you may not need to be as active, but this is the time. For the past couple of years, this is the time where job seekers need to truly tap into different ways and different tools to make yourself stand out, because the market, it is what it is. Nothing you can do about it. And Tiffany mentioned earlier, you're not in it alone, but you're in it, right? So we're all in it. And so now is the time to just really be creative as possible, learn different techniques that may happen, try new things that may happen for you, but don't stop, right? Because we don't know what the market's going to hold mid-year, next year, et cetera.
It's so true. And even when we talk about goal setting, right? Try your very best to break down some of your bigger goals into more digestible steps, right? Because that can feel at times overwhelming. If there's a goal that you have, you're like, oh, that just feels so far away. It feels so far away from where I'm at right now, but it's something I'd really like to accomplish this year. Don't keep it at that high level. Really take that goal and break it down into digestible milestones that you can really hold yourself accountable for, so that every day and every week you're making tangible progress towards that goal, right? I do this all the time. I've done this for years, and it's really helped staying focused on the core priorities that I set for myself in a given year, in a given quarter, whatever that might look like. And so if, let's say, you have a certain goal of landing an opportunity at a certain organization, or to be building your network, or whatever that might be, break that down into smaller digestible goals that you're like, okay, you know what, today I'm going to focus on XYZ. Good. Done. The next day, okay, I want to now start shifting more to this, and so on and so forth, so that by the end of a given week, you've already made so much progress, and you could also really recognize that progress and not feel defeated, but feel more encouraged about what's happening, and create a bit of this snowball effect that will only further reinforce the path that you're pursuing. So just a really simple but effective technique when we talk about goal setting and staying focused on the career plan we're creating for ourselves, to not get distracted, to not lose sight of what you want to achieve, but actually put the cards on your side and have the action back that up to make consistent progress, right? The best thing to do is compare yourself to yourself, right? To where you were last week, last month, maybe a quarter ago, last year. The only way you're going to be able to do that is to just keep moving forward, right? Don't fall into that cycle of, oh, you know, this has not been working out, or feeling bad for ourselves. Yes, there's moments where we probably will feel bad, but nothing really constructive comes from that, right? Let's use that energy as fuel of saying, you know what? I don't want to feel like that anymore. What can I do? What can I change? What can I shift in my actions that will help me see things differently, that will help me experience a different outcome, and then start shifting more in that direction to build up that momentum.
I think also what we'll couple that is just the consistency and effort, but not just the consistency in applying, but the activity level. You start to mention that on LinkedIn, right? So developing, I'm a huge component, a proponent of, you know, personal branding. We could talk about that for hours and days and weeks. I think that's still such an underutilized method by job seekers. So if you think about how long does it take a job seeker, you'll hear them, I'll apply to 100 jobs, 200 jobs, 300 jobs. If you've read through all those job descriptions and done the search, that's hours, right? That's tons and tons. That's a lot. That's a full-time job. You could, it probably take you 40 hours to get through 100, you know, positions that you think that are, you know, close to what your skill set is. Unless you start to just click on everything, right? Just to get some, just to get a call back, which is a bad strategy, right?
It's true.
But if you were to apply that, right, learn from us that are putting content out there, and that we talk about personal branding. If you were to take a portion, just a third of that amount of activity, and put it towards putting out valuable content on LinkedIn to expand your personal brand so they can see and make your profile more visible, because that creates more eyeballs, the more activity you're on the platform. So that's a component that I think job seekers still heavily underutilize for whatever reason, hence the use of ChatGPT, right? That can help, or initially get some coaching behind that so you can build out a strategy to get you that momentum that you need. Again, along with applying, but again, it's more eyeballs
that
drive traffic. Just like, it's no different than marketing, right? Totally. They do tons of online marketing for what? Traffic to the website. We have to take the same marketing principles, drive traffic to our profile.
Yes.
The goal is to say, okay, him or her, I like what they're doing. Let's have a call. Or another opportunity can come from that to you like, oh, wow. And it starts this trickle effect. Is it going to be instant? No, but it's still the point I'm trying to make is that level of consistency that you still need to be a job seeker.
100%.
One apply a week is not going to do it.
I love that. And, you know, you're reminding me, Orlando, I've been supporting two of my clients on this very recently, and they've wanted to develop more of their thought leadership on LinkedIn because they're also actively looking for opportunities and they want to be able to build out their voice. And we've been focusing on some key strategies together, and they both in the last 2 weeks alone recently received their first LinkedIn Top Voice Community badges, which was a huge milestone for both of them, you know, and they never thought it would happen so quickly, but it was really, again, like I said, focusing on actionable steps and doing the things that we need to do to reach those goals and almost kind of reverse engineering it backwards instead of staying in an overthinking cycle of, should I do it? Should I not do it? What if what I put out is not going to be helpful? All of that stuff. We just have to get out of our own head and take action, even if it's that messy action, because the reward on the other end could be so favorable of, to your point, getting more eyeballs, getting more visibility, getting more exposure. We can't expect people to find us online if we don't exist online, or if our profile isn't compelling online, or if when someone lands on our profile, it doesn't really say anything about us. Right? We want that to be the gateway as to, no, you got to stick around here on my profile. Like, you got to stay and scroll a little bit. You're going to want to go read my about me section. You're going to want to go see more about my experiences. You're going to want to look at the recommendations that I have on my profile. think of it as really that gateway that, again, you control your profile. You can update it. You can refine it. You can work on your copywriting within it to make it very compelling, right? You can make it your own. And this is a lot of fun because that's going to go a long way, not just in job searching, but also in building your personal brand and building your credibility and building your authority in the field that you're in. And once again, that's something that someone can't take away from you.
So I heard a tip, I forgot how long ago, might've been a year or so ago, that said, when you change even just the header, the verbiage under your profile picture ever so much, it causes an algorithm change and it drives more eyeballs. So even if you were to just update that once a quarter, every other month, you know, change this word or something like that. Maybe not at that level of frequency, but maybe once a quarter or something like that. That simple change causes an algorithm shift in your profile to drive more eyeballs. And then me, if anyone's following me or followed me, I probably change my header photo once a month. I'm just trying new things. What does this look like? How does this look?
That's okay. You know, the banner can be seasonal or whatever is pertinent for that moment in time.
Yeah. I take LinkedIn as right. It's a living document. So you can craft that. Like you said, that real estate is yours to craft and change and mold and to attract, you know, more attention, as long as it stays in line with what your ultimate goal is. If you're changing from, you know, now you love dog walking to now you're loving planting trees to this, that people are like, what do you want to do? What's your ultimate goal? What's your focus? So just have consistency also in the clarity is good. Yeah. It's not just pumping That's out content, but the consistency and the clarity of what you're trying to let people who view your brand and your profile know exactly what you do, right? Right from the giddy up, we should know without even having to jump into your about section. There's some sense of, oh, I know what he or she does. And then it intrigues them to learn more, but oh, wow, this is someone I want to follow, right?
Yeah.
I think that just provides so much value. And again, it's super underutilized by job seekers.
Yeah. I'll also shift a little in terms of, let's say you're in your organization, right? So for those who aren't actively looking for new opportunities, but you're looking to grow in your current organization and you want to position yourself well for that, you know, this is a moment to be explicit about what your goals are, right? Have that conversation with your manager, have that sit down, let them know, you know, at the start of a new year, what you're hoping to accomplish, what kind of support you need in making that happen, what new areas of opportunity you might want to focus on. Make sure that the work that you're doing, the focuses that you have are really playing into your development opportunities, and do your very best to get that support that they're on the same page as you, right? Because without that explicit conversation, it can really run the risk of them assuming things that you want, or maybe just having a clash of expectation, right? Maybe for you, Orlando, your goal is, okay, I want to get promoted in the next 3 months. And so that's soon for you, but maybe soon for your manager is like end of year, right? And so if you're going off, like, I want to get promoted in the next 3 months and your manager's thinking, okay, I want to promote Orlando by the end of the year, there's probably going to be a little bit of a clash and frustration there. And that can lead to a lot of those moments of stagnation or conflict or setbacks that you want to avoid. So the more explicit and transparent you can be about what it is that you want, how to make that happen, what kind of timeline you'd like to achieve that by, you're going to get a lot more insight and information to go off of to support you in achieving that than, again, just kind of doing the work, hoping that the work's going to speak for itself and not really see that follow through. So when we talk about your career for 2024, I'd love to see more of our listeners take that proactive control, take that stance. Don't leave things up to chance here. You know, this is your career, and every moment, every day and week that goes by, if you're not contributing to the goals that you have set for yourself, or even getting clarity around what that looks like, it can really hold you back. And we don't want to have that this year, right? This is the year where you're going to achieve some really amazing milestones and follow through on what that looks like.
And I would throw the reverse in what you said, which was a great point too. If you're, because I always like to look at it from both sides or three sides, is if you're having those conversations and you realize there is no upward mobility in the organization, then what, right? What types of internal conversations you need to have with yourself to say, you know, I'm okay if this is what it is. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, incremental raises that we get through merit increase and, you know, company performance and such. But if you're truly wanting more and for some odd reason, you didn't know going into it that there was no upward mobility or shift, you know, organizational shift change. And right now companies, they're not looking to promote just due to finances, whatever. You have to ask yourself, can you ride the wave in your same role, you know, until the company comes out of that? Or just say, hey, I need to start shifting and thinking about making a transition in the career, because unfortunately it could be a great organization. But if you want more, you're looking to become a people leader, which we talk about a lot on when Tiffany and I get together, is if you want that more challenge and more responsibility, is that organization in a position to give that to you? And so that's another conversation that you need to be aware of.
I love this. The way I often frame that, Orlando, is you need to have answered a very specific question, mm-hmm. which is it just a question of when, or is it a question of if? So what I mean by that is, let's say you're having a conversation around your growth goals and there's a little bit of pushback or resistance, or you're getting a no, right? I'm a big believer of converting no's into yeses, but in order to do that, we need to understand, is this a when question or an if question? So what I mean by this is it something that you have the support, whether it's your manager, your HR team, your leadership team, that No, Orlando, this is going to happen for you. It's just a question of when. Right now, it's been a bit challenging. We just had budget cuts. We've had a series of restructurings or layoffs. So timing's a little bit challenging, but yes, it's going to happen this year. It's just, we don't have an exact timing. That's more of a question of, okay, so I got the support. It's more a question of when it's going to happen. And then I need to double down on how do I make that happen faster in my particular case. Whereas if, let's say, you're getting more of a feedback on, I'd like to see more from you, or I don't quite believe that you're at that level yet, or, I still have to see X, Y, Z, or, this is a pretty big jump for you, or whatever kind of feedback you're going to get. Then the question follow-ups need to be, okay, well, do you believe that this is actually going to happen for me? Or, you know, is this a path that's not as likely within the organization or within our department? And then that's going to give you other insights as to how do you want to play that, right? Because as we said earlier, you want to take control here. You want to make sure that you're in the driver's seat and always have options. So whatever I'm sharing right now, you still want to have options externally. You never know what's going to happen. But at least like this, you'll have a better foundation to go off of in your company to know, like, what's the likelihood? What's the probability of this happening? And that's even a great question to ask, by the way, right? You could ask something like, you know, so based on someone with my experience and what kinds of results I've been able to bring in the role, what would be the likelihood or probability that I would achieve this next promotion within the next 3 months or within the next 6 months, right? And it just kind of becomes a very like fact-based question. It's not emotional. It's not like you're saying, I want this, I deserve this, you owe this to me, but it's more around, hey, let's just talk facts. Like, really, based off your experience as my manager, what is the likelihood that this is going to happen in the next 6 months? Is that realistic? Do I need to focus on something else? Do I need to be exposed in a different area of the organization to facilitate this, right? And so this is the type of conversation you really want to hone in on as early on in the year as possible, so that you don't end up 5 months, 6 months, 9 months down the line feeling like you're strung along in what you're working towards here.
Love that. Yeah. So Dina says Macy's is laying off. Yep. I think they've closed and went on 100% online, I think, too, for a couple of years, maybe a year or so ago. But anybody, job seeking is good. She had another comment. Thank you, Dina. Job seeking is good, but it's also researching the company you're applying for is vital. Absolutely. Kadisha says no holdbacks. No, for 2024.
No holdbacks. I love that.
She's going all in.
Message then, received.
Exactly, right? Go for it.
If you walk away with one message from this episode, no holdbacks for 2024. You go all in. Yeah.
When we talk about the current market and what's happening, do you get a sense from clients that, and you touched on it earlier too, that they're you know, their outlook has diminished a bit, or maybe their mindset, they're stuck like, you know, woe is me, how we're going to, you know, make this work, what's going to shift for us if companies are not doing it, how are we going to get out of this situation?
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you when, especially when my clients first come to me, there's a little bit of that defeated mindset, right? Mm-hmm. They've either, for those that have been job seeking, most of them have been looking for a while. It's not something that's brand new. They haven't had much success with it prior. But what really starts shifting for them is the traction that they get in working together, right? Because it really helps having that guy that can get you just focused on the right path with the right resources and the right tools so that you can start making visible traction, right? Visible progress that you feel. You know, I've gotten a few updates just in the last couple of days alone with this incredible traction with one of my clients who has been really doubling down on her job search efforts in Europe. And back when she started, she's like, I don't know, like things can be really challenging here, the market. So I said, don't go in with that mindset. You're going to kind of get yourself out of the race before it's even begun. Let's focus on action. Let's focus on strategy. And sure enough, you know, this is where the momentum started to build for her, right? So it's normal to have that kind of sentiment, because also the news doesn't help, right? When you open up and you just hear about one layoff after another, or what that means for the job market. And I'm not minimizing this in any way. It's terrible, right? It's terrible that so many incredible professionals are losing their employment or have been with an organization for a long time. And they're now wondering, okay, well, what's next for me? Right. And so the message that we're trying to pass today is really around, be ready, be prepared, put whatever strategies on your side that you can, so that it doesn't stay in that mindset of feeling defeated or feeling like it's going to work against you, but asking, okay, what can I do to take those steps forward? It might not be easy. It might not happen exactly overnight, but so long as you're making the right progress with the right people in your corner, with the right strategies, with the right focus areas, you're going to net out a winner in all of this, right? You're going to make the things happen. And there's, I can tell you, I see it every day, Orlando, you know, there are still companies that are promoting and giving major salary raises because my clients are getting them, right? I see opportunities and jobs being landed, you know, very often. And so it's possible. I want people to feel that there's hope here, that it's possible. And creating that action-oriented mindset is really, really going to help you steer the course that you need for yourself, right? And do it with a positive outlook, and maximizing every single day that you have, really.
Yep. And to that point, to bring it back to a lighter note, that is true. I see a lot more on the recruitment side open up, where there's a lot more director of talent acquisition opportunities that are available, which says to me, it's not that they're just hiring a recruiter to, you know, work through what their current workload is, but they're looking to expand because they're bringing in, you know, more of a senior leader to now be more strategic in how do they capture top talent? How do they expand their brand, their employer brand, and things like that from a technology standpoint? How can they have the right software in place, you know, to optimize applicant, you know, flow and have a better workflow internally to be more efficient? So those types of roles, when you see that, that's what I think. And again, the goal is they're looking to expand. So there are people, there are companies, there's tons of companies that are still hiring. I wouldn't, you know, stay locked into what the news say, because it's right, those are different areas at different levels and can put you in the wrong mindset. But Iris, I believe, had a good statement here. She says, no questions, but wanted to give kudos. Everyone should be watching you, new follower, looking forward to support the work that you do. Excellent points about how to shift into the right mindset and updating your LinkedIn to show your branding. Thanks, Iris. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Iris. That's such a beautiful note. We're happy to be here and support any way we can.
Absolutely. And it's, if I were to bring it down to just brass tacks terms, right, we can't stop. You just have to stop, keep going. We have to keep going, right? Unless you're, you know, you're sitting on a trust fund somewhere. It's just a matter of having a good support system, I think, too. staying motivated, keep educating yourself as best as possible, which is free. Leveraging the tools and the talents that you already have. So it's not like you need to go out and, you know, recreate the wheel and try to figure out something that's not there. But I think it's just putting action behind some of the tips that's being shared on the platform, right? So diving into it and working it till you see results. And if there's a shift you need to make, be open to shift. Don't be rigid. Be flexible in all facets of your search, because it's going to take work, but there's opportunities out there. That's for sure.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's a good note to close out together, right? We see a lot of opportunity. It might not always feel like that, but a lot of the strategies that we share today is going to help uncover the opportunities that we don't always see, right? This is really with the goal of bringing opportunities to you instead of feeling like you're constantly chasing after them or amongst a sea of people that are going for certain opportunities. Do what you can to stand out. Do what you can to differentiate yourself. Do what you can to be memorable. Do what you can to take action every single day in a way that is sustainable and focused and milestone driven. And you're going to make more traction than you've done maybe in the last year alone, right? And so this is your year to make it happen. We're just at the outset. Get in the right game mindset-wise, as Iris reinforced in our comments here, right? Mindset's going to be half the battle. Let's make sure that it is your biggest asset, that is your biggest driver in proving to yourself that you deserve to have what you want, that you're capable of having what you want. And with the right action to back that up, you're going to make it your reality this year.
Love it. Love it. Folks, we are going to close it out. Tiffany and I found our sweet spot at 45 minutes of impact. So I think if we go any longer, our brains will start to like, okay.
Yeah. It's good. So it's good.
Our mindsets will shift. But absolutely follow Tiffany and myself. Subscribe to whatever we're doing, simply because we're always going to add value and we're thinking about the people first, the job seekers, and supporting your growth. So absolutely subscribe to the podcast. That's Career Talks Podcast on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. But jump into the content and stay consistent, right? The next 90 days can look different for you, even that short a period of time, if you just stay consistent in your efforts.
Absolutely. Consistency is often underrated, but it is a powerhouse skill in driving results. Consistency wins pretty much every time.
That's it. We're going to end there, folks. We'll see you next time on Career Talks Real Talk with Tiffany Uman and myself. Have a good weekend. All right.
Thanks, guys. Bye.